This program, entitled Lessons of Life from the Eagle, is presented by R.G. Kelly of Living by Faith Ministries in Norwood, Missouri. Please give your attention as Mr. Kelly brings out simple truths from the life of the American bald eagle.
I want you to take your Bible this morning, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, to give you an idea of what's going on, I brought a picture with me today. And I want you to look at this picture, and I want you to look at it good. This is a painting of an eagle. And it's like a lot of things in life. You just look at it, you say, there's an eagle. But I want to point out some things, first of all, to you in this eagle picture that will help you as we go in the message today. This eagle is on the top of a high, high rock. And he's launching off from that rock. And if you get an idea of the scope here of his wing spread, it's just massive. And the valleys are far, far below him. And he's actually up in the clouds. But this eagle is high on this rock. And he just has that look in his eye. And I can't hold it up here to you a lot, but I just want to leave it up here for you. And you think about that picture. I wish you could see it real, real close. Several years ago, there's a lady in this church by the name of Mrs. DeGase. And she painted Karen and I a picture. And it hangs over our bed in our bedroom. And it's a picture of a flying eagle. Somewhat on out beyond the rocks, and the verse below that of Isaiah 40, 31, where it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And I've read that verse and memorized that verse and even meditated on that verse, and God has shown me this week that I don't know much about that verse. But by His help, we're going to break the bread of life. And so you pray the Holy Ghost to speak to our hearts. Let's look at chapter 32, verse 4, the first phrase. He is the rock. His word is perfect. That notice that rock is capitalized there. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment of God, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not He thy Father that hath brought thee? Hath He not made thee and established thee? Think about what it's saying now, folks. Is not He thy Father that hath bought thee? That's a purchasing word. Hath not He made thee and established thee? Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy Father, and He will show thee. Thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the lot of His inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in the waste howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Pay special attention to verse number 11. Each phrase, as an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth. The eagle is mentioned 34 times in the Bible. If I've counted right, he's mentioned 34 times in Scripture. I've had great joy in preaching over the years and the unsearchable riches of God's Word and grace, but I've never preached on a subject that has gripped my heart. It has opened up the panorama of my life to me from a childhood and even given me a glimpse on toward glory. I want to talk about the eagle for just a while. He has a wingspread. I wished I had one up here this morning, but I don't. But an eagle has a wingspread when he's full grown of about 7.5 to 8 foot wide. Now, to give you a comprehension of that, a basketball goal is 10 foot high. So that wingspread, if you put it up, would just like 2 feet reaching a basketball goal. It's tremendous power in those wings. He can grow to be 20 pounds of weight. He has power that's unbelievable in his claws and in the talons, and they are needle sharp. I mean, they go right through. You think your boy's going to go gigging tomorrow night, and you got a big gig. This eagle's talons can just go right through the scales and everything. It's just like needles, and there's power in them. In fact, he's been known to break when he grabbed a kangaroo in Australia to break, and whatever he grabs, he immediately breaks its back and kills it, so there's no resistance. See, the spinal column's gone. And he breaks its back and then picks it off, so there's no struggle. And they've been known to break as big animals' back as a full-grown kangaroo's back And in fact, I've read some things and heard some things about the eagle. I don't know whether some of them's true. They're so absolute. I mean, they just astound you. But we do know that he has tremendous power in the upliftability of those 7.5 to 8 foot wings. Now he has what's a 270 degree eyesight. I want you to become acquainted with the eagle, because God, in teaching us about the eagle, is going to teach us a lot about himself and ourselves as a child of God. He has 270 degree eyesight. Now, brother, that's the way around. In other words, he can just see a wide, and see it's 360 degrees. He's got 270. And he also has what I would just simply call built-in sunglasses. He has eyelids, but he also has another set of eyelids that he can see through, but that he can pull in. And when he hits water or hits into a storm or into a fight or into the sun, he can pull those lenses around and he can still keep rolling and never damage his eyes. Now also, when he's looking as far as his eyesight, he can see a 4.5 mile view, generally speaking, at any time. He can see a rabbit move 2 miles away. Unbelievable. When somebody says he had an eagle eye, brother, they're talking about that lad can see good. But he can see a rabbit for 2 miles away. He can kill and carry up to 3 times his weight. Wants to know one thing about an eagle, he'll live as high as he can possibly live. Some of his attributes are alertness, accuracy, swiftness, freedom, and strength. I was in McDonald Lake, that's up by Glacier Park in Montana on the western side. We had drove down there several years ago on vacation, and we pulled up to McDonald Lake, and one of the first things I saw at McDonald Lake were eagles coming down and coming right across that lake and come up with a big old fish. Man, they come down and just whoo, just like it, pick him right out the water and just right up on the hills, is gone with it. And so they are accurate, they're swift, they're strong. They are to the fowl world what the lion is to the animal world. When God created the animal world, the lion is called the king of beasts. But the eagle is the king of the air. And he has that same station like David, that we know from Scripture, studied eagles much because of what he said about eagles and what he said about flying in heights and rocks in the Psalms. And he was a shepherd boy. And one of the things eagles love to do was get those little lambs. And so David, we can understand a lot of his analogies and a lot of his truths of the spiritual life that he's given us comes from his study and understanding of an eagle. They're unique to all the birds and animals. There's nothing like them in the world. They've captured the imagination of leaders and kings and rulers, nations and people. They're on emblems. They're on monies. They're on symbols. They've been sung about, and they're used in all types of ways to illustrate something that's beyond the physical realm that we want to express to people. Something that's in the spiritual realm, we use the eagle to do it. Now, an eagle can fly 100 to 130 miles per hour straight out. He's just coming across the land. A full-grown eagle can fly 100 to 130 miles per hour straight out. When he goes on a nosedive, he can go from 180 to 200 miles an hour when he's going down on attack. I'm going to tell you something. He's fast. I mean, he'll move. If he comes after you, you better just hit the deck, all I can tell you, because he's coming. He can fly up to 10,000 foot high altitudes. That's pretty good. I've been a little light plane up 10,000 feet, you know, and you're high. But, I mean, just climbing around them clouds up there. He lives, if you don't get too much DDT in him, he can live to be 60 to 100 years old. And he flies. Now, I want you to get this. He flies 10% of the time, but he glides 90% of the time. All right, now, we're going to talk on the eagle and some different areas. First of all, we're going to talk about the eagle's home. I want you to get this analogy on two different levels. First of all, I want you to get on the level of your own home, your own marriage, your own family, your own house, your own children, your own life. Then I want you to put it on a church level. I want you to put it on level spiritual, walk with God, your spiritual birth, your spiritual family, your heavenly Father, and your brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so if you'll put these things on those two levels as you go through, the Holy Spirit of God will divide asunder as he needs to. Let's talk first of all about the eagle's home this morning. First of all, his parents, his daddy and his mama, because they're going to be real important to us as we study the eagle. I want to tell you first of all about parents of the eagle this morning is that the daddy eagle and the mama eagle, once they mate for life. Wouldn't it be good if God's people would get back to when they mate for life? In other words, they don't get it in their head. They don't hook up a male eagle and a female eagle. They don't hook up with the idea we're going to try it for a while. They hook up with the idea this is till death does us part. I want to tell you something. Listen, we ought to have, and I want to challenge you to have an eagle marriage. A marriage that says from this day forward, and hey, if you've been divorced or remarried, I mean, make up your mind this morning that from this day forward, this is it. This is till death do us part. I'm going to become an eagle for God, and I'm not going to go the way of the world. They stay together till they die. Listen, when you stood before that preacher and you said, till death do us part, God means for you to stay by that. God means He's going to hold you that vow. And that eagle mates for life, and they will not separate till death parts them, till one of them dies. Now I'll tell you something else about the parents of this eagle. They raise their young together. They raise their young together. I mean, daddy eagle doesn't go off playing golf while mama raises eagles. I'll tell you, daddy eagle gets right in there, and he stays with her, and he helps her raise those children. The Bible said, and ye fathers, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He didn't say mothers, did he? And yet it seemed like the wine said that mama's the one who does the raising. Most of us, most of the time, we're so out of the will of God, and we're thankful because it's culturally accepted. I'm just saying this to you, that both of them are responsible in the raising of their young. Kids need both parents, amen? We're living in a one-parent generation. Listen, I'll tell you, if you're here this morning and you're a single parent, I want you to know one thing. We love you and we're here to help you and not condemn you. But you got to get right with God and walk with God before we can ever do that. Amen. I'll tell you something. Listen, don't come across this business. I'm going to live in my sin, but I still want God's blessing. It don't work. Now, when an eagle dies, I want to say this to you. Kids do need both parents. Amen. But I want to say this to you. If they don't have, I tell you all to get on your face and your knees before God and say, God, make up the slack by your presence in our home. Amen? I want to tell you, He's a merciful God and a good God, and He'll make up the slack. Because I'm going to tell you this, a sin-cursed world, and a lot of things we can't turn around, a lot of things we can't change, a lot of things that's going to be that way. But I'll tell you, I'll ask God to make up the difference. And I thank God for those of you in this church house whom you have let God make the difference in your life. But when one of them dies, now listen to this, when one of the eagle mates die, they will not steal a mate from another set of eagles. When one dies, let's say the female eagle mother dies. That papa eagle don't go around and say, well, I'm going to see if I can't steal Betsy from Henry. He'll never go, or she won't either. She'll never try to steal that another eagle's mate. And they'll never try to split up an eagle home. I'll tell you something. There's all of this country, it seems like there's wanton eyes and wandering eyes and dissatisfied eyes. And I'll tell you, just waiting to see if they can find a soft spot or find a rebellion in somebody's heart or somebody's thinking about leaving. I'll tell you something. If you're a single here this morning, don't you be looking at somebody else's wife. Don't you be looking at somebody else's husband in here or out there. Now, they will not steal another's mate. They will seek a free mate. Listen, they will seek a mate that has lost its mate, or they will seek a mate that has never mated. But they will not seek a mate. Won't they, aren't they something? Amen. I'll tell you what, it'd be good if we could just be as good a Christians as eagles are. Amen? Just good. Now, I want to tell you something. Young people, listen to me carefully. This is profound. I mean, this is theological heights. And get a hold of this. This is going to be deep theology. An eagle, a young eagle, looking for a mate, will never marry a vulture. Hey, man. He'll never marry a vulture. I'll tell you something. We got little eagles running around our churches who ain't got enough sense that they're supposed to marry another eagle. If you're a child of God, what in the world are you doing marrying a buzzard?
That's right.
I'll tell you, I'm sick to death of seeing these boys and these girls marry some. And by the way, you ought to try to marry somebody that's compatible as spiritually high as you are, and you usually will. Uh-huh. And you usually will. Water usually finds its own level. But they will not marry a vulture. Now, I'll tell you, young eagles, something here. Fly with the eagles and don't fly with the buzzards. And the way to keep them marrying a buzzard is don't fly with them. Amen? Amen. Now, the second thing, we're going to move on from their parents to the eagle's nest. The eagle's nest. Look where he's at. He's way high. I'm talking about high upon a rock in a place that's isolated and away from this world. I'm going to tell you something. He gets on the highest rock available. Let me tell you who the highest rock available is. Remember verse 4? It said up there in verse 4, God, He is our rock. And if you want to build your life, and you want to build your home, and you want to raise your kids, and you want your marriage and your family right, build it on the highest rock available that you've got, and that's the rock of our Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of ages. Amen. That eagle's got enough sense. He don't go around looking for something down there close to the pond. He takes up to the sky and gets on the highest rock he can get on. I'm going to tell you something. You know what that rock is? That rock's solid. Amen. I'll tell you, when you build your life on Jesus Christ, it's solid. It's not the sinking sand. I'm going to tell you something else about it. They take that nest and they gather sticks together. They gather sticks together, and they're strong sticks, big old sticks. I mean, they'll break off big old sticks. The widest nest they've ever known to be found is 9.5 feet wide. Big old nest. Made out of big old sticks. He comes in, they come flying in there with, I mean, big old sticks, you know, like that there. So you know what that tells me? They think their nest's strong. When you build your nest, your home, or your life on the Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to be solid. It's going to be strong. Now, I found this out last night late. Don't have a thing to do with the next morning, but I'm going to give it to you anyway. Because I'll tell you, it's sweet. I'll tell you what, we've been preaching courtship and trying to get away from dating in this church. All right? Now, I'm going to give you girls something going to be good for you. I want to give you something I don't want you to ever forget. I was found out that the female eagle will take a stick when she wants to find a mate, and don't lie about it, bunch of you girls wanting to find a husband. You girls remember this, don't ever forget it. That female eagle, when she wants to find a mate, she'll take a stick. And she takes that stick and she flies over where old pretty boy is. She takes that stick and she drops it. Now watch this, boys. If that boy eagle is interested in her, he responds by picking up the stick, taking it up in the air, and dropping it by her. If he's not interested, he just lets it lay, and she goes on. She knows that there's no deal there. Some of you girls going by dropping sticks. I've been watching you. Yeah, man. You're dropping sticks. But I want to say the great truth of it's this. Listen to this. What do they build their nest out of? Sticks. Do you know what that's saying? That girl is going by that boy and saying, son, are you interested in a home? Have you got a place to live? Are you interested in a family? Are you ready for marriage? And if you ain't ready for marriage, don't pick up the stick. Amen. Yeah, I'll tell you something. Listen, we'll learn a lot from the eagles if we don't understand. She ain't going by saying, are you interested in a date? The stick is a symbol of the fact that she's looking for a home and somebody who's willing to build a home and build a place to, for their family to reside. Most young people coming together not even thinking about that. They're just thinking on terms of, you know, I don't know where they're thinking at. Don't say this till you can learn a lot from them. Well, not all that, but they build that nest. They got it all built. You know what the old mama and papa eagle do? They go out and they'll kill rabbits or a coyote or do something like that. What, something that's got fur on it. And they'll kill him and eat him, but when they kill and eat him, they take the hide and they line that nest with that fur. They line that nest with that fur. Now, you know what that tells me? That there's comfort. They're providing a place of comfort, and your home ought to be a place of comfort. Amen? It ought not be full of sticks that'll stick you all the time and bother you and irritable and strife and envy and all that going on. They want a place of comfort. I want to tell you something, Jesus. Our God is the God of all comfort. And whenever God, when you come into church, I don't tell you, you ought to come in here not with stuff against anybody. Hey, you ought to come in here in a place of comfort. Amen? I don't tell you, if I need any place in this world, my wife and I is up early this morning. I'm talking about dark 30. And we sat back in the utility and the kids all upstairs asleep, and we talked and we visited and we cried together and wept together and had a good talk together. But I'm going to tell you something. Our home is a home of comfort, and your home ought to be a place of comfort for your family. Well, listen, it's a strong, that nest is solid, that nest is strong, that nest is comfortable. They line it with furs and they keep it clean. I'm going to tell you something, some of you ladies, something. You know why things are trouble in your house? Because you don't keep your house clean. I know I'm meddling, but it's the truth. I'll tell you, our God's a clean God. Amen? I'll tell you something right now. When my desk gets cluttered, I don't prepare messages good. I walk in there and I just want to walk out. You wonder why your husband don't want to come home? Maybe he walks in the house and wants to walk out. You say, well, I could keep it clean if he wouldn't clutter it up. I'm just saying to you, they keep their home clean. So it's solid and it's stone. Do you know what that speaks to us? I'll tell you, if you're in God's nest, He's going to clean you up.
Amen.
It's going to be clean in God's nest. If you're a child of God, He's going to work on you. Create in me what? A clean heart. Amen. Now see, I'm trying to preach on both levels, so you just stay with me, all right? Now what's the purpose of the nest? What's the purpose of the home? What's the purpose of the church? Now there's three things. First of all, to protect, and then as a perch, and then as a pad. Now, I could have preached just on these three things, but I'm not. But I want to say this to you. First of all, it's for protection. That means security. You see, that old nest is way up there, away from the world. I'm talking about high on the rock. It's going to be hard for anybody to get to. It's going to be hard for a coyote to get to. It's going to be hard for a wolf to get to. It's going to be hard for a bobcat to get to. And it's going to be in a place where they can defend it. And that nest is in a place of security and protection. And if there's any place in the world that ought to be protection, it's your home. I'll tell you how to protect your children from all the garbage of the world. Your home ought to be high and holy. And it's a place where they're protected from the filth and the corruption and the garbage of this world. I'll tell you another. Secondly, it's a perch. It's a perch. They got 270 degree eyesight, 4.5 mile survey. You know what that old eagle does? He walks up there at the edge of that old rock like that, and he sees what's going on. Most of us live so low, we don't even know what's going on. I want to tell you something you can't see unless you're in a perspective to see. And that's what wisdom is. Wisdom is the perspective of seeing things from God's viewpoint. Seeing what's going on in your life through the eyes of God. And that eagle's able to see. He used that for perch. He watched what's going on down there. He sees danger coming, that a moose or an elk. He might sit up there and watch an old pack of wolves working its way toward a herd of elk. They don't know what's going on. That old eagle can see it. I'm going to tell you something. I want this to be an eagle church. I want you people to be eagles for God. I want you to be able to see how the Satan is coming at your home. See how he's coming at your marriage. See how he's coming at your life. I want you to see the danger ahead. Let me tell you something. An eagle Christian is one who is able to see out through eternity and see hell and judgment and destruction coming. And they're preparing and warning those that they love around them of the danger of the wrath to come.
Amen.
You see, when you're an eagle Christian, you have the ability to see higher and to see farther and to see a better perspective of everything in your life. And by the way, when you're having troubles, and when you're having sorrows, like that song, when sea billows wave, and when the waves of sorrow roll in across your soul, I want to tell you something. If you've got the ability to see it from God's perspective and understand what God's doing in your life, it'll make all the difference in your world.
Amen.
But not only is it a protection and a purse, but it's a pad. Boy, I liked how to shout and spell when I got on this one. I don't tell you what, you see, look at that thing. Look at that. You know what he's fixing to do? He's fixing to launch off the launching pad. But you know what the glorious part, I mean, that, what that means? It means our church ought to be a launching pad. You leave out of here tonight, man, you ought to just launch off that rock and you go out in this world and live for Jesus Christ and live above the strife and live above the envy and live above the jealousy and live above the greed and live above the garbage piles of this world and use this church as a launching pad to carry the gospel over this world. Now your home ought to be a launching pad to send your children out in this world for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Your home is a launching pad. They're coming out of there and they're going to go somewhere, and the higher it is, listen, the higher it is, the greater the flight.
Amen.
You can't have anything such as too high standards at your house. Now you can be too mean, and you can be too unmerciful, and you can be too uncompassionate, but you cannot have too high standards. I'll tell you, glory to God, God wants our children to be launched off a pad that's high and makes for good soaring. Amen. Not crawl around the snakes and the lizards, but God wants us to fly. Now there's another thing. I've got to get this. They build that nest. They get it fur-lined. They get done. You know how they know when they're done? Daddy says when they're done. You know how Daddy says when they're done? Old Daddy Eagle comes flying in there one morning with a fresh, broken-off evergreen branch in his mouth. Comes lights up on a rock, climbs up on that old nest, lays her down. That says to that Mama Eagle, honey, the nest is ready for some eggs. Well, let me tell you, it's ready for children. I'll tell you what, there are so many applications to this one truth about the eagle that you can preach. I sat in there studying, I liked to have a spell. I said, glory to God, the Prince of Peace is coming back one day with the branch of in his mouth. And he said, the nest is ready. He said, whoo! One of these days he's coming back and said, I go to my place to prepare a mansion for you. In my Father's house so many mansions were not so. I would have told you, if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am there you may be also. He said, Mama, and Mama represents the church. And he comes back and said, the nest is ready. Yeah. Woo! Glory to God. I'll tell you what. God's so smart. I'll tell you what. He's so high and holy. But that brings us into incubation. Now get a hold of this. This will help some of you mamas. Some of you mamas are incubating out there this morning. Amen. I mean, you're sitting on the nest. Amen. Well, mama's sitting on that egg. And that egg's got to stay a certain temperature all the time. Let me tell you what you can learn from Mama Eagle real fast, mamas. And that's the value of consistency. If mama decides she just wants to sit on the nest when she feels like it, the egg will never hatch. It'll die in the egg. If there's anything children need in the home, it's consistency. If it was wrong last week, it's wrong today. They need consistency. She sits there. I want to tell you about the daddy eagle, what he does while mama eagle's on the nest. Mama eagle's sitting on that nest, day in, day out, day in, day out. Here comes old daddy eagle in. He goes out, gets her the finest fish he can find, brings it back to mama eagle, tears it apart for her, just takes it right there in his beak, hands it to her. Mama Eagle takes that piece of meat and she's eating on it. And while she's eating on it, he starts kissing on her. He just starts kissing on her. He just loves on and takes that old beak, just rubs it down her neck while she's eating. And he just takes his old wing and he just pets on her. He just pets on her and kisses on her. And she just sitting there saying, I think I'll sit a little longer, honey. I'm going to tell you something. You can say what you want to. You can say what you want to and hide it all you want to. But if there was more affection and more romance and more love in most marriages, they'd be getting along a lot better. Amen. 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 I'll tell you something. Listen, he just kisses on her, pets on her, strokes on her. And then you know what she does? She sticks her feet up at him. And he takes his feet and he sticks his feet right and they lock claws together. In fact, I left something out about it. You know what they do whenever they pick up the sticks and have their little courtship? You know what they do? They take that stick up together, drop the stick, and they come together. Now, this is before they ever got married. And they come, drop the stick, come together, and latch their claws together, leaning out, and they get way, 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 way high. All right? And most people do before they get married. They're so high in the sky. I mean, they are way up there. And they drop the stick, and they latch their claws together, lean back, go round and around and around, down, 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 screaming and hollering for joy that they're getting married. And before they hit the ground, they bust up, fly up again, go through the ceremony again. Well, when she's sitting on the nest, they've been married for a while now, you know, and it ain't like she can't go up there and do the things they used to do, and fly and cut up and all that kind of stuff. She's got to sit. She sticks her legs in. Sticks them on feet just like that. That eagle, he just takes his little feet like that. And what he's doing? He's saying, honey, the honeymoon's never been over for me. I still love you like I did when we first got married. He said, I ain't forgot you. And said, I'm not over it. You're still sweetheart to me. I'll tell you something. Listen to me. God's people ought to be the most affectionate people. Ought to have the happiest and the holiest and the highest marriages in the world. Amen. But there's something wrong because there's that same rate of divorce in the Christian peoples and the churches as there are in the world. That tells me something wrong. They may be saved, but they ain't living God's way. Now, you know what else he does? He goes and gets her evergreens every day. Brings down evergreens. Man, that's what it means. You ought to buy your wife flowers. Amen. I was coming home the other day. This thing all over me. God's all over me at this message. God's telling me what a rotten, low-down husband I've been. I'll tell you what he's saying. You ought to repent. And I said, yes, God, I'm sorry. He said, I mean more than that. Stop at Walmart and get her some flowers. So I stopped at Walmart and I got my wife some flowers. I'll tell you what, man. Amen. I brought her to sit on the table. I said, it's my peace offering. Amen. This old eagle, he'll bring food to her. He'll give her attention. I'm telling you what, he loves her. He pours it on her. And you know what he's saying? He said, honey, I love you. And I appreciate what you're doing around the nest. And stay in there, honey. And I love you. I wonder how many wives here this morning would give anything if their husbands would treat them like the daddy eagle treats that mom eagle. But you know what he does? He does more than that. There comes a day he walks over and says, honey, said, you've been on the nest a long time. Said, crawl off. I'm going to take on the nest today. He pulls out his checkbook. He says, honey, go up there to Cloth World and buy them out. didn't go over to Battlefield Mall and go shopping. I said, I'm going to sit on the nest today. He said, so he, she crawls off that nest. Man, he scoots right in and says, I know I'm not mama, but he said, I've got blood thrown through my soul too. He says, I can keep warm till you get back. He said, go have yourself a good time. Now, I'm going to tell every daddy in this church house that your mama homeschools. I've done committed myself. I ain't said a word to the, caring about this, but I'm going to tell you that I'm going to walk up to her one of these days this week, and I'm going to say, honey, take off the nest today, and I'm going to hand her the checkbook. And I say, you know how, what's ever in there? You do the rest of it, you'd be in jail, but you take what's there, and honey, you go shopping. And I'll sit on the nest today. And he sits on the nest, and he relieves her for a while, gives her a chance to get a break. And they work together as they raise their home before that child's ever born. And he keeps the kids once in a while. He lets her go shopping. And I want to tell you, if there's more love at home, there'd be more physical children where there's love. And where there's love at church, there's more spiritual children born where there's love. Well, I'll be honest with you. Last Sunday, you know, that's just such a joy in my soul. I'll be honest with you. God just washed over me with a new wave of love and appreciation for the people of this church. But I'm going to tell you something. Where there's love, I'm going to tell you, people walk in this church, that's what they're checking for. They're not listening to my message as much as they are listening to the heartbeat of you people, whether you love one another. And they say, man, if I thought, well, Abraham Lincoln said, if I could find a church where they love one another, I'd join it. But he never did join one. I want to talk to you now about the eagle's birth. The eagle's birth. Well, old eagle, he cracks out of that old dark world of conviction. Amen. You see, the seed of the Word of God got planted in your heart, and that old egg got laid. That's what you are back here. If you're lost today and under conviction, you're just an egg waiting to be hatched. Amen. One of these days, bless God, maybe you'll crack out of that shell of conviction into the light of the glorious sunlight of God. But he's sitting there. I mean, he looks like he's just been vomited out of something out of his mouth. I mean, he's just sitting there. And he's just all mouth. He can't protect himself. He can't feed himself. He cannot even keep himself alive. But he's hungry. But he's got a heavenly Father that's going to take care of him. When you and I were born in the family of God, and it's just the same today. You and I can't keep ourselves. Oh, we've got to where we can feed ourselves some. We take this old precious book and meditate on it, read on it, memorize it, and feed ourselves. But when you got saved, you didn't know nothing. I want to tell you something about this eagle. When it's birth, he's born high, not low. Brother, if you're born in the family of God, you're born high. Live up to your birth. Amen?
Amen.
You're born high. I want to tell you something, you parents. You say, on a born birth, our children high. I'll tell you how to birth them high. You daddies lay your hand on that baby while he's still in the womb. And you pray, God, oh God, save this child when he's young. Oh God, brood over this child with your Holy Spirit. You read the Bible. You get him in church. You get him under the Word of God. You get all the garbage out of your home. Birth him high. So all he ever knows is Holy Ghost anointed preaching and the truth of God's Word and the sweetness of the Lord, and birth him high in your family.
Amen.
Then there's the eagle's food. Those parents would go out to get food. I want to ask you a question. Has anybody ever, I'm not saying it never has happened, but I'm going to do a survey right here. Have you ever saw an eagle in the middle of the road eating on a dead skunk? I ain't either. I'll tell you about an eagle when he starts feeding that baby. Here's that baby sitting there, his mouth open. Ah! Oh, he's just hungry. That daddy eagle don't go and say, well, I'm going down and get me some roadkill for Junior today. No. No. I tell you what, that thing's been dead very long. Oh, he'll not touch it. He wants fresh meat for his children. Not corrupted meat. Not maggot-laden meat. Fresh meat from heaven. I want to tell you something. I said last Sunday, I don't deserve these people drive from Clever, Missouri, Sparta, Missouri, and Willow Springs. I don't deserve you to come here. But I tell you what it's done for me. It's made me get on my face before God and say, Lord, them daddies and mamas aren't bringing in people, their children here to this church to get a bunch of dead, rotten meat. They're bringing them here to get some fresh meat from heaven. Oh, God, help me to get out this week and find something. That daddy eagle, he'll travel 100 miles if he has to. He'll travel 100 miles if he has to find some fresh meat to bring into that baby. He'll bring that old dead rabbit, bring that old rabbit in there. That rabbit's still dripping blood. He'll take that rabbit up. The boy, get a hold of this. He'll take that rabbit, get a big piece of that meat. You know what he does? He chews it up. He'll chew that up and feed that baby. You know what? That baby eagle learns to like what his daddy likes. He learns to have the same taste and the same appetites that his daddy has. And whether you like it or not, dear friend, you say, my kids don't love the Lord like I wish they did. You know why? Because they've been eating the same stuff daddy and mama's been eating. Your children are given by God the aptitude to like the same kind of meat you like. Boy, I tell you, bless God, I'm glad. I'll tell you what, I said, Lord, I'm not, Lord, you be my helper, I'll travel 100. You know, I got to think about these folks that drive. These folks do like that dead eagle. I'm going to tell you something about your church. I'm going to tell you something about your worship. If you have to drive across the state to get fresh meat from heaven, it'll be worth it to you. Amen. Amen. I'll tell you what, I don't intend for my kids to sit around some dead carcass church living off some last year's message, living off last year's sermons, digging out some sermon outline, 3 points and a poem. I want to have some fresh meat from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. Listen, we better get a hold of this thing. Eagle of God, a child of God wants fresh meat, not corruption. You kids ought to thank God if you got a mom and daddy won't let you feed on TV. Won't let you feed on videos. Won't let you feed on pornography. Won't let you feed on dirty stories. Won't let you feed on sitcoms and soap. Some of you mamas sitting there said, my husband won't let me watch Phil Donahue or Oprah Winfrey. Praise God, you got a husband. Won't let you feed on corrupted meat.
Amen.
Then they see to his feeding. I never heard tell of a daddy eagle hiring a buzzard to feed his child. I'll tell you right now, we got a bunch of Christian people in this nation letting buzzards feed their kids. Spiritual garbage. Do you know what a buzzard does more than much as he eats? He pukes. He's always vomiting up. I'd vomit too if I had to eat evolution and all that garbage and a godless sex education, a slop, and tell me there's no God and all that garbage in this world. I'd vomit it up too. They see to his feeding. They're born hungry. An eagle's born hungry. Every child of God you ever knew has ever really got saved is born hungry. If he don't have an appetite, he's not saved. Then there's the eagle's care. That eagle, he's sitting up there high in the clefts of the rock. Brother, let me tell you something. When it starts lightning and thundering, where do you like to get? Low. Out of the way somewhere. That little baby eagle's sitting up there. And one day, Mom, Daddy hadn't got back in yet. My land sakes alive, he sees that old big thunderhead rolling up back there in the southwest. And lightning pops. And all, I mean, the wind starts blowing. And the thunder's cracking and it starts to rain. And that eagle begins to yell and scream. It scares him to death. And I'll tell you, some of you, you were starting out your walk with God. And the thunders and the storms of life blow. And you didn't know what you was going to do. Well, I'll tell you something. He screams and hollers. You know what happens? His mom and dad flies in there. David must have seen this because of the scriptures he gives. That mom and dad eagle flies in there. They land on there. They crawl that nest. And they just spread their wings out. It just turns into a tent canopy over that baby eagle. And boy, all of a sudden, he just chirps, chirps, chirps. You know, have you ever been in the house and it's pouring down rain outside? And you're just really in for a nap, you know? And you're going to just pull the covers up and you just snuggle up and that rain's pitter-patting down. And you don't want that phone to ring. And don't all you just lay in there in the shelter of the storm. That's what they do for that little eagle. They just canopy over him. He's just sitting underneath there. That rain's running off his mom and daddy's feathers. He's just dry and happy as a lark. He just hears the heartbeat of his parents. He's content and happy and at peace with everything. David said in Psalm 17:8, listen to him, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. That old song, till the storm passes by. Psalms 57:1, he said, listen to it, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge till these calamities be past. Psalms 91 verse 4, David said, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. Boy, I want you to see that picture of that helpless baby. That little storm raging, but here comes Mom and Dad Eagle, and they just cover him over. And he's under the authority and the protection of his parents. Young people, if you want to be kept safe from the storms and the lightning bolts of this world, you get under the protection that God has set forth in your life. Then there's the eagle's growth. He's growing day by day. Well, one day he stands up in his nest, kind of stretches his wing out. And then he gets to doing this. He just jumps right up in his nest. Did you know they've seen baby eagles jump as high as 15 feet and just come right back down the nest? And he just jumps up. And what's happened is he's exercising. Now, here's what God is going to exercise you. Remember Paul talked about exercising the senses, discerning between good and evil? And God's born again. Now, let me tell you something. You got saved, and some of you have been in the nest for ages. But I'm going to give you a little secret this morning. Now, listen to me. Get this. God did not intend for you, He didn't birth you into this world to sit in a nest or just sit on the rock and enjoy it all your life. God created you as a Christian to fly and to soar with the eagles.
Amen.
And you get this truth. God did not save you to sit in that nest all your life. And so he jumps up and down, his feathers and wings are developing, he's changing, he's getting stronger. And that brings us from the eagle's home to the eagle's heritage. Because the eagle's heritage is that he's born to fly. He's not like any other animal in this world. He's meant to fly. He's meant to soar. So there comes a day when there's more eagle than there is nest. And the little eagle walks off the nest. He walks out on the rock and he looks around. While he's out on that rock looking around, Mama Eagle does something wild. She walks over to the nest, takes her claws and her beak, jerks the fur lining right out of the nest, reaches back in, gets all that downy stuff, bit by bit till it's down to sticks. Junior looks over and says, Mama, what you doing? She just looks at him and says, Make yourself comfortable, son. Junior walks back over there. Boy, he is disturbed. He walks back up there, gets in his nest, and tries to get comfortable. And the sticks is joking in him, and he's sticking him here. And he, why, it's something wrong. He's uncomfortable. He's irritable. He's hard to live with. I tell you, I've seen people do this. They say, I thought so-and-so got saved. But the way he's living, I don't know whether he did or not. I'll tell you what the truth about it is. A lot of people don't want to go to hell, and that's it. God birthed it. They got saved. And God began, and this is what the writer in Deuteronomy was starting to talk about, stirring the nest. She is stirring the nest. She has to stir the nest. He'll sit there and die there. He'll never learn to fly. It's too comfortable. Some of you, God's stirring your nest. Things are going crazy. Things are going wrong. Nothing seems to be going right. You don't understand it. He walks over there. He cannot understand why his own mother would mess up his nest. But he doesn't see God's hand, see, behind the scenes. He doesn't understand that he's been made born to fly. Some of you wonder. You don't even understand it yourself. Boy, let me tell you something. When I got a hold of this, I said, Lord, now, finally, years later, 42 years of age, I see what you were doing. All along this road of my life, every once in a while, God stirs up my nest. That eagle gets back in there. He's comfortable. I'm telling you what, it's a mess. But he's going to stay there because that's his nest. Now, next day he gets up, walks back around. He's looking around. What's the deal? You know, and she tells him, says, son, you're getting ready to fly. And God will always tell you when he's getting ready to teach you how to fly as a Christian. All right? And he's getting ready. So instead of bringing food to the nest, she brings it out to him and lays it on the rock. No more food in the nest. You say, man, I come to church, I ain't getting nothing out of it. You could preach till the fire come up out of the floor of this church. I'm going to sit there and, well, let me tell you something. God will stir your nest. And God will get the food where you'll get a hold of it after a while. But she takes that food, lays it over there, and lays it on the edge. And if he won't, folks, let me tell you something. If this eagle will not begin to fly, you know what she'll do? She starts taking that nest apart, one stick by one stick by one stick by one stick. She destroys the nest. And let's say the night that this mama eagle destroys the nest. So now it's nightfall, and here's the little eagle. He's sitting out there on a rock, all right? And he's sitting there, and it's cold, and it's dark, and it's damp, and he's shivering, and he's miserable. How many people have you seen that saved like that? There's no virus. They're complainers. They're gripers. They're groaners. Everything's wrong. It's going to get worse. Somebody got me out of my nest. Somebody did something that didn't suit me. And I want to tell you why God sends people on your trail that just upset your apple cart. I want to tell you why God lets people come by you cannot stand. Because God is going to use them to stir up your nest. Nobody else could do it. So he has to bring along enemy. And years later, teach you how to love them and thank God for them. Well, this is what God's telling Moses here in this chapter. This is the song of Moses. He's telling him, he said, listen, Moses, you guys were in your nest down in Egypt. You were in your slave nest. Let me tell you something about slavery. It's comfortable. You know why? Because you know what you're going to go sleep, and you know what your food's going to be, and you know everything's just going to be like it is, but you don't have to worry about things being stirred because you'll get your portion every day, and they'll go around it because they need you to be healthy and strong so you can work. And that's the way the slavery of sin is. And God said to Moses, Moses, I did you like an eagle, the nation of Israel. He said, I went down and stirred your nest. He said, I took you down there and said, I made you do those plagues. And he said, I stirred up that nest down there. He said, I mean, the whole country was in a mess. Wasn't it? Remember all the plagues? He stirred them up till they couldn't take it no more. What happened to them? They flew out of Egypt. Now, we're going to get to the bearing here pretty soon. But that's what he did with them. He said to Moses, you people, the nation of Israel, you weren't born to be slaves. You're created to be a free people, a people who are born to be free to live with the Lord, to carry the oracles of God, and to bring a Savior into the world.
Amen.
That's what he's doing. And God had to stir their nest. God had to destroy their nest. Those people didn't want to leave Egypt. They said, Moses, you've made it hard on us now. Look what you've done. What, Moses? God may have stirred their nest. They could have never left Egypt. God hadn't stirred up their nest. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. I get so stirred up sometimes about this thing. So God stirred up the nest, made it uncomfortable, upset everything, upset everybody, fluttered over them, spread abroad his wings, took them out of Egypt, bear them out. Now, did you know he'll do the same thing with us? Every time, I want to tell you, after he bursts us into this spiritual world, through the gospel of Christ, he'll feed us, he'll protect us, he'll provide for us, he'll care for us, but we weren't designed to sit in the nest. Some of you sit in this church each week. And you just want it to be comfortable. You don't want to do what God wants you to do. You don't want to go on a mission field. You just want to be satisfied. But God made you to soar above this world. To get you out of your comfort zone. That's what most of us try to stay in, is that comfort zone. And every time he gets us off the nest, the eagle off the nest, his mama makes it more irritable, more uncomfortable, and eventually destroys that basic nest if he will not fly. And I want to tell you something. Listen to me carefully. God may destroy the nest if needed. You say, Reggie, what am I saying? Now listen to this carefully. If you'll get a hold of this, watch this. Your spiritual birthplace, as well as your physical birthplace, is temporary. But your birth is permanent. Oh, listen to us this morning, folks, if we get a hold of this thing. And then there he is. There's a little eagle out there, and he's got no nest. The night's coming, and he's dark, he's cold, he's wet, and he's shivering, he's wondering what life is all about. Have you ever gotten to that point? You say, I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. It was nice and it was comfortable for a while, but here, look at me now. It's dark in my life. It's cold in my life. It's damp. I'm shivering. I don't have a place to sit. God, what's going on? You ever got to that place? He may be fixing to teach you to fly. Doesn't understand the hot hand of God in it at all. Well, morning comes. Now, hang on. Now, morning comes. Finally, the sun's picking up over the mountaintops, and the rays are just sticking out through the pine trees. And Daddy and Mama come on each side of Mr. Eagle. And Mama kind of backs up kind of to him, and she just throws them wings out and flutters them down just like this right here. And says, climb on, son. And this eagle's been taught to obey. All right? That's why some of your kids are never going to fly, because they weren't taught to mind Mama and Daddy when they were little. Are you listening? Now Mama says, son, climb on. And so son climbs on. He crawls up on her back. Man, he's been shaking there, shivering in the dark, cold, damp all night long. Oh, Mama. He's up on her back, and he feels the warmth of her feathers and that closeness of his mother. And he's up on her back, and he says, oh, Mama, this sure feels good. And Mama says, son, I want to tell you something you need to know. You need to learn something. Your feelings can oftentimes fool you in life. Because what you're fixing to do may not feel good in just a few seconds. Amen. I'll tell you something, if your salvation and your religion and your spiritual experience is built on feel-good services and singings and then picnics and hot dog roasting ball games, I promise you get ready, because God will not let you soar with hot dog deals and ball games. God is going to make you fly. And I'll tell you something, the feelings will wear out. And if you live on feelings, I'll tell you you're in for something. Now she said, first she said, climb on. Now she says, hang on. And then she launches off. There she goes, that little young eagle on the back of her back. And he goes, woo! I mean, his heart goes, woo! But he's on mama. He's got his claws and he just goes, mama's back brings a little blood. But he's mama, it's all right. And he's doing pretty good. And he gets out there a ways and she went down and now she's going up, up, up. And he decides to look over. Woo! He said. He looks down 3,000 to 4,000 feet. He said, good land of living. I better hang on or I'll splatter my brains out. Mama, be careful now. My soul, he digs in there. He's hollering for mama to be careful. Then mama's going up, 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 up. All of a sudden, she just turns her nose straight up in there and goes, just like a rocket. And the eagles are digging in and hanging on, mama, mama, mama. And boy, then she really does it. She rolls over on her back. And the last thing she hears is, mama! He's going in, he loses all grip. She shakes him off. He's 8,000 feet up in the air. He's rolling end over end. His heart's up in his throat. He's a bundle of nerves. All he can think about is the grounds are coming. I've had it. And to beat all that, my old mama did it to me. I've seen some of those eagles learn to fly around church. It was the folks that I went to church with that God used to make you fly. Amen. And mama, she flips him upside down. He's falling. She shouts, hallelujah, fly boy, fly. He ain't flying. He's just tumbling. There's a bloody terrifying scream. I want to teach you something about your salvation. Do you, how many here thinks little eagle was trying to hang on? That is putting it lightly. You know why some of you ain't never learned to fly? Because you're hanging on. I'm going to tell you something. God's going to shake you off one of these days. You'll find out salvation ain't enduring and it ain't hanging on. And it ain't holding out. Amen. And I'm going to say further to you that if you've never been to an spiritual experience to where you fell off the mama's back and you were tumbling and falling and you were helpless before God, you ain't growed very much. And if you still think you're hanging on, it's because you don't want to fly, you want to ride mama's back, and you want to sail on the rock all your life. That's the trouble. But I don't promise you, God's going to get you where all the hanging on you can hang on ain't going to hang you on. And that eagle's he's a tumbling, he's a falling, petrified, screaming bundle of nerves. In his mind, he's thinking, I'm done for. Mom and Daddy, God and the church did it to me. And his trust and his obedience has been tested to the limit. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. You and I are going to be allowed to fall. God will allow you to fall. And fall in such a manner. And folks, I'm going to tell you, get ready, because in order for God to teach you to fly, you're going to go through it. And when you're falling, you know what? He has this feeling of absolute, total incapability of helping himself or stopping it. And if God does not intervene, he is in trouble. First time I ever got up to preach, that's how it was. You say, Reggie, what's this little eagle learning? He's fixing to learn an awful lot, but I want to tell you the first thing the little eagle learns in life about flying. Get this if you don't get anything else in the message. It'll bless your heart. Here's a little eagle flying, falling. He's just feathers, his wings are just doing that, and he's just boom, 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 boom. But what that little eagle don't know is that Daddy Eagle can fly faster than he can fall. Well, I'll tell you, when God showed that to me, I said, that's it, Lord, that's it. I said, Lord, it's been you all along, and I've fallen, and I've fallen, and a just man falls 7 times. But the Lord, pick him up. And what that little eagle don't know when he's falling, what you and I don't understand when we're falling, is that our Heavenly Father can fly faster than we can fall.
Amen.
And man, he's getting close to the ground here. I mean, tell you what, old Daddy Eagle sitting up there and he likes the sport. And he says, it's time. And like a bolt, like a bullet out of heaven, God comes down. And that eagle comes down, comes underneath that little eagle and picks him up on his back. Don't you think that little eagle ain't grabbing? He's ready to anchor to something. Amen. And old Daddy Eagle just, I mean, like a, he can fly. See, the Daddy Eagle can fly many times faster than that little eagle can fall. Some of you come into church and you drove down the road, you drove in the driveway and said, I don't know why, I just don't turn around and go back to the house. I've just messed the whole week up. I've fallen, I've messed up, I've blowed it. If everybody knew the truth about me, they'd shoot me with a double barrel shotgun. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. If you're a child of God, if you're a little eagle, you've got a Heavenly Father that can fly faster than you can fall. And the reason you're in this church this morning is because He can fly faster than you can fall. And it comes underneath you. And it catches you before you hit the ground. And I want to tell you something by the grace of God. You may say, Reggie, I'm up on the rock and I've never taken the flight before. And I'm falling. I've got good news for you. Your daddy in heaven can fly faster than you can fall and He'll catch you. Amen. And that's what the writer meant when he said, and He shall take thee and bear thee up on eagle's wings. Man, there that old eagle is. He's on his daddy's back. He's just sitting, oh, daddy, daddy, daddy. Oh, haven't you ever got somewhere by yourself and you just sob, oh, Lord, oh, Lord. And there he's taking him back up. Dad leans back and says, son, we're going to go back up the rock. Oh, this is good. He takes him back up and lands on that old rock. He lands on that old rock and that old eagle. He jumps off his daddy's back. And now remember, just the night before, he's complaining about that cold, hard, damp rock. What a miserable place it is to spend life. That old little eagle walks around a bit and says, bless God for the rock. Bless God, hallelujah, for the rock. Amen. I'll tell you something. You'll never appreciate the Lord Jesus Christ till you've been out there on your own trying to serve God, till you've fallen, till you've messed up, till you thought you'd had it, and He picks you back up on eagle's wings and sets you back up on a rock. And then when you can say, bless God for the rock. Hallelujah for the rock. Amen. I'll tell you what, and then the night fall comes, he's just sitting there just happy as a lark on the rock. He don't cry about being cold. Let it rain. Amen. I'm on a rock. Let the wind blow. Let the lightning fall. I'm on a rock. Man, I know where it's a lot worse out there. And I'll tell you something. Listen, you're never going to appreciate Jesus Christ as the Rock of Ages. He's sitting up there about 1 o'clock in the morning singing, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in... Oh, he's just happy as a little eagle. You ever seen? Just back up. But the night before, you see, God can make it so that the place and position you despised, you come to love. Oh, listen. And so he just thinks he's wonderful now. And I just say to you again this morning, little child of God, just like this verse 11, God's going to stir your nest someday. The Holy Spirit's going to flutter over your soul someday. He's going to remove your comfort zone someday. He's going to spread His wings out someday and say, get on. And He's going to take you to the ride of your life. And He's going to take you up. He's going to take you out. And He's going to drop you off in midair. But He's going to catch you before you hit the ground. And then you'll know. And then only then will you know that your Heavenly Father can fly faster than you'll ever fall. Well, then you'll know that His grace is sufficient. Then you'll know that He will never leave you nor forsake you. Then you'll know, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll feel no evil, for Thou art with me. And He's going to bear you up on eagle's wings. He's going to teach you to walk by faith. He's going to separate you from earthly comforts. He's going to make the trial of your faith more precious than that of gold. He's going to make you uncomfortable, teach you to trust, teach you to obey, launch you out in the deep, allow you to fall, and show you your weakness, and show you your helplessness, and show your dependence and your need on Him. But all for a reason, that you may know Him and the power, listen, of His resurrection.
Amen.
Now you tell me what happened to that little eagle. He got resurrected. Amen. He was falling to his death. And that eagle comes and he felt the power of a resurrected life. Amen. That come through the wings of that Father. You're never going to know the power of the resurrected life of Jesus Christ until you start flying to fly with God, until you let go and get off that rock and take the ride that God has for you. You'll never know the higher life. You say the flying eagle, you see, is a type of the resurrected life, the life of victory Romans chapter 8 talks about. Paul said in Philippians 3:10 that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Don't you think he didn't have fellowship of suffering when he got back to the rock? Being made conformable to his death, if by any means. Boy, I read that last night, and that any means had new fresh meaning to me. God will use any means to conform you to the image of his son. That I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. You know what he's saying there? He's saying God's going to use any means he has to get you out of the nest, off the rock, and out in the air. Any means. So you just well to surrender today. You just well yield today. Well, he's on his daddy's back, as I said a while ago, he mounted up on eagle's wings. They go back up to the rock. He's blessing that rock. He's not complaining about the rock. He's rejoicing in the rock. That old eagle was needing a place to rest. He just about had enough for one day. And so that's why in Psalms 27:5, David said, he shall set me upon a rock. Where'd David get that phrase from? He got him watching them eagles. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, where it said there, God, he is that rock. In Psalm 61, verse 1 and 2, it said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. He's needing a place to rest, and Jesus is that rock. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Never learn to appreciate the rock till you've been on out there on your own. Now he's up there happy, contented, singing Rock of Ages. Next morning, sun comes up over the hill. Rays come through the trees. Mama, daddy comes on east side. Mama kind of backs up. He says, oh, no. Oh, no. Mama, please don't make me go out there. You see, at this point, we really think we've suffered for Jesus' sake, don't we? And God will put us into a spiritual retirement home. Climb on, boy. Yes, Mama. Same deal. Out, up, over, down. Only this time, Mama immediately spins and comes right down alongside. She's just flying right alongside Miss Paul. And she screams. The eagle mama will scream and scream and scream and scream at him. And what she's saying to him is, spread your wings! Spread your wings! Spread your wings! Spread your wings! Fly, boy! Fly! Sometimes he does on the first try. Sometimes he don't. Sometimes it takes several tries. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. You're not wise. I flew on my first shot. God will take you down, amen? So she's crying up to him, says, son, do what you were born to do. You weren't born separate in a nest. You were born to fly. You're an eagle. Fly. I think the Holy Ghost is telling us. I think the Holy Ghost walks up and down this church house Sunday after Sunday and says, don't sit in that nest. Fly for God. Spread your wings of faith. Spread your wings of prayer. Spread your wings of worship. Spread your wings of trust. Spread your wings of obedience. God will enable you to fly and do what he called you to do in life. Sometimes it takes several tries, but finally, young eagle, he's fallen down through the air at about 5,000 feet. And he says, well, I guess I could try. And he spreads his wings. And the most amazing thing in the world happens. God has already prepared something. What is it? The wind. And the Holy Ghost immediately responds to obedience. Oh, mercy, folks, listen, I know what I'm talking about. And he spreads that wing. And see, Jesus said, it's like the wind. Didn't he tell Nicodemus? And that old eagle spreads his wings, and all of a sudden that thermal updraft catches him. He goes, good grief. Man, that's pretty neat. And all of a sudden, that thermal, and boy, it lifts him. Instead of falling, he's rising. He said, my soul, why didn't somebody tell me how good this was? And let me tell you something. Until you've fallen, and until you spread your wings, and until you've experienced the updraft of the Holy Spirit of God, that thermal updraft lifting you to accomplish what God has called your life to do, you will never be able to tell anybody else and explain it to them. And that's why Jesus expressed it that way. It's an unseen supernatural power of God that enables men and women to do what God has called them to do, whether it be raise a family, whether it be raise your children, whether it be do what you're doing, if it's lead to singing, if it's teach a Sunday school class, if it's go on the mission field. I don't care. You say, I couldn't do what that person does. No, no, you couldn't unless God gives you grace to.
Amen.
But if God calls you to, he can do it. Well, that old thermal updraft catches him, lifts him up into a glorious surge. He's excited. And I'll tell you something. Now, here's what happens to us as young Christians. He's excited. He says, my soul, I'm doing what mom and daddy does now. And boy, he just turns into that wind. He just begins to flap against the wind. And what happens is, folks, we're up there and we can fly. But we try to do it in the energy and strength of our own flesh.
Right.
Remember what I told you about the eagle's flight earlier today? He flies 10% of the time. He glides 90. And as long as he thinks he's a tough little eagle, and the rest of them may have to glide, but I don't. And he pumps himself. And you know what? So one of two things is going to happen to that little eagle. First of all, he will work himself to exhaustion and death. Or, if he doesn't do that, he will fall over and over and over and over again till he learns how to let the wind control his life. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the wind of God. And only then will you experience the gliding power and the rest. The last 5 or 6 years of this church, I didn't understand why I had such joy in pastoring. I just, whereas used to, it just, you know, was a big heavy load, and I thought I had to make it all happen, and oh, the Christian school, and oh, this, and oh, that, and, you know, and you know what it was? I was flapping against the wind. And that day that I knelt before the Lord and he burned that phrase, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And I got up from there, you know what happened was? I just was carried by the wind.
Amen.
I can't make you all walk with God. But I can pray for you and I can preach to you and I can love you.
Amen.
And the truth about it is, I'm never going to help you until I get myself in the wind. And lift. Let the Holy Spirit lift. You know what? That's what Romans chapter 6 talks about when it says, yield yourselves. Yield to the wind. Yield to the wind. As you yield to the wind, you go higher and higher and higher. This little eagle does that and he experiences a glorious fulfillment. Now, listen to me. He experiences a glorious fulfillment in God's design for why he's even in this world. He experienced something he never experienced before. I remember one time telling a fella, I cannot explain to you the fulfillment I have in preaching the Word of God. God designed and called me to preach His Word. That's where my fulfillment's at. Everything else is a drag. You know what I mean? Just the worldly things are just a drag. It's the glorious fulfillment is that God called me to preach His Word. When you discover through the power of the Holy Spirit and do what God called you to do, you're missing something, I'm going to tell you.
Amen.
You are missing something that you wouldn't trade for anything. You think that eagle wants to go back in the nest now? Oh, my land. You know what else? Takes the work out of it. Some of you ladies, you just about had it. Some of you men, you just about had it. That's why he said, do it as unto the Lord.
Amen.
Do what you've got to do in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the energy of the Holy Spirit, not in the energy of the flesh. And then finally, it makes flying a joy, not a job. Amen. Wouldn't you like it this morning if Brother Earl got up here and said, you know, I've labored for the Lord for 38 years. And I'll tell you, it's been tough. I wouldn't really recommend it for anybody. But I hung on. Does that do anybody any good? And when we learn to spread our wings of faith and yield the Holy Ghost, it'll take 90% of the work out of it. And then you know what happens? You get somewhere. I mean, isn't this neat theology? You get somewhere. I mean, people are just pedaling in place all their life. I don't feel like I've grown the Lord. I'm going to tell you why, because you're not yielded to the Holy Ghost. And then you'll see new things that you never saw because you're going higher all the time. You see things. Then you see new glory. You see sun rays and clouds and scenery that the rest of the world never gets to see. And serving God will be a joy, not a job to you. Now, if you and I do not spread our wings of faith and prayer and worship and obedience and trust, as I told you, we'll work ourselves to death and exhaust ourselves and fall over and over again. Now, brother, that little eagle's living in a new world now that he never knew existed when he's on the nest. He's filled with the Spirit. This world knows nothing about the joy that he's experiencing. Those rats and snakes and spiders and turtles, they don't have any idea what he's experiencing up there. So don't expect the world to understand when God teaches you how to soar, because they do not understand. All right? This young eagle, though, is inexperienced, and he's unaware of many dangers. He's unaware of his own weakness and his own awkwardness. There's some falcons and some hawks, some buzzards that like to prey on young flying eagles because they know they don't know what they're doing. They just think they do. They're like most of us. They're like most preachers like me. I just think I know what I'm doing most of the time. I want to tell you a little secret about them. This young eagle's down there, boy, he's trying it all out. But his heavenly father, his daddy, is flying above him all the time.
Amen.
Boy, ain't that good.
Amen.
Oh, daddy eagle's just flying above him. He's just watching him mess up, flop around. You know, but he's watching. Now, he's up there for two reasons. Number one, if he happens to get all messed up and starts to tumble, he'd pick him up and go again. But if one of the old devil's falcons comes in, he better stay clear. Boy, as long as old daddy eagle flying over there, those old falcons, they're way over about 3 miles. Don't touch my boy.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something.
Hallelujah!
I tell you, the devil can't touch me unless my heavenly father gives him permission. Amen. If he does, it'll be to teach me a humility lesson.
Amen.
Boy, I'll tell you what. God make us an eagle. Well, that old young eagle's learned to fly. You know what happens? They watch him. They get him there about 2 or 3 days of that. Mom and daddy's up there flying. Daddy says, come up here, honey. He said, I want you to fly. He's doing real good. Mama looks at him and says, honey, looks like he's learned to fly. And then the most amazing thing happens. Guess what mom and daddy does? They jump right up in the air toward each other. They throw their claws together in a love lock. And they just spin and spin and spin and spin. And just a screaming and a hollering. Honey, we got one off the nest out in the air. And he's a flying on his own. And he's under the power and the influence and the control of the Holy Ghost of God. Woo! I tell you what, when my kids, Brother Jay, get grown, old men, Karen, can lock together in a love lock and say glory to God. They're out there and they're serving God and they're flying in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Glory, glory.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, listen, folks, listen. There's so much here. Listen, this is just first message. That young eagle, now listen to me, that young eagle, and any healthy eagle, at this point in his life, any healthy eagle, remember what I said, any spiritually healthy eagle, there's two things you'll never do. Number one, you'll never find a healthy eagle flying in the middle of a storm. Never. If that eagle's in a storm, there's something wrong with him. Where is he? Above the storm. Those old gusts and thermal updrafts, those old powerful shudders of wind come, well, he just spreads his wings. And those updrafts are swinging, he just catches him enough draft, he don't have to do a thing except spread his wings of faith and get under control of the Holy Spirit and just rifts him right up. And listen to me. If an eagle stays on the rock, he's got to go through the storm. If he don't fly out of there, he's got to go be in the storm. But if he's above it, he's above the storm. And when the storms of your life come, when those irritations, when those trials, when those troubles, when those problems come, if you will spread your wings of faith. And what I mean when I say spread your wings of faith, faith comes by hearing. Hearing comes by the Word of God. Do what your grandma did. Get in the Bible. Get something to bear you up on eagle's wings that God can lift you above the storms of your life.
Amen.
Amen.
And I want to tell you something. You think you can fly through a storm, don't kid yourself. You'll come out of there without your feathers on. And let me tell you why we go through storms and feel battered and beat to death. It's because we did not spread our wings of faith and praise and worship and prayer and trust and obedience and get under the power and influence of the Holy Ghost and let Him lift us above the storm. And that's why the song says, above the battle strife. When other people are griping, moaning, worrying, fretting, anxious, don't know what's going to do, don't know how they're going to make it. The eagle Christian, flying above the storm, where it's calm, till the storm passes by. Second thing you'll never see a good, healthy eagle do, listen to it, is let an enemy come between he and the sun. Eagle's flying out through there. Right along, here comes three hawks. Maybe 16 sparrows. But let's say the three hawks come after him. That eagle will move, I'm talking fast, to make sure that they do not get between he and the sun. And when he sees that the enemy's coming at him, now watch this. This will help you. I mean, this will roll over your soul. He turns his nose and beak right straight into the sun. And those eyelids, those sunglass eyelids that come in from the side, sweep over his eyes. Enables him to stand the glorious light from the sun, and he flies right into it. Those hawks or those falcons, they try to chase him. What happens to him? They lose him in the light of the sun. Can't stay on his trail. Beatenest deal you ever heard in your life. And you and I, when the devil gets after us, when the old devil's hawks and his falcons go after us, we'll turn our nose toward the sun and fly right straight into the Son of God, where the hawks cannot follow. Listen, we've got a vision, we've got an eyesight that this old devilish world cannot follow, and they'll lose us in the light of his glory.
Amen.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ should shine unto them. And so I tell you this, don't fly in the storm, fly above it. Spread your wings. Fly straight into the sun. You get us draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And God will help you through.